I'm wanting to give all this message tonight, all of it. I don't know. There's so many verses to be used, and what we're going to, in a message like this, it's necessary to step from Scripture to Scripture. And for those of you who are really interested in this question, to follow in Scripture. That's the only way that I know how to handle it. And tonight we want to talk to you about how long was the body of Christ in the tomb. I guess that's the best way to say it. Or what day did Jesus rise? Maybe the first title would be better. And then we're going to get to John 2 in a moment. You just have it open and ready there, and we'll pick it up shortly. What we're interested in tonight is the time that Jesus' body lay in Joseph's borrowed tomb in a garden near Calvary. It struck me years ago in South Africa that near to Calvary was a beautiful garden, suffering and peace side by side there. And this matter of Christ's body in the tomb has become an object of controversy. In fact, I guess everything in the Bible has become an object. All 31,102 verses, frankly, in the Bible have become an object of controversy from somebody. Now, I want to start like this, and this is a fact. You can challenge it. I've got document for it. This was not a question in church history until about 120 years ago. Prior to that, it was not a question in church history. And so I ask myself, then suddenly, why about 120 years ago did this thing become an object of controversy? And I'll tell you why it did. Because some people want to force the Bible into a complete and total literal mode. Make everything in the Bible literal. You cannot do that. When Jesus said, "I am the door," imagine saying that's Jesus over there, that door. When Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world," imagine saying, folks, there's Jesus up there, the light. When he said, "I am the true vine," imagine a grapevine where there's the Lord Jesus, the grapevine. Now we know some places it is literal and must be accepted as such. And in other places, the few verses I've quoted, obviously it's insanity to interpret it literal. When God said in Psalm 91 that he would hide us under the shadow of his wings, who can imagine God sitting around with wings and feathers, literal, hiding us under them? So there has to be a balance in this thing. There's an old saying, when first sense make common sense, use no other sense. Well, that's pretty good. I can go along with that quite a bit. How long was his body in the grave? If I ask you that question, all of you would say 3 days and 3 nights his body was in the grave. Now listen very carefully. However, all New Testament scriptures that speak on this subject do not say that. Now the preacher hasn't talked to me and I've not talked to him. You heard what he said tonight. Some verses say 3 days and 3 nights, and others do not say that. They say almost the opposite. So therefore, we have a contradiction. Hardly. We have the job of trying to rightly divide God's Word with no contradiction. And that's what I'm looking for this evening. Now, here's the problem. I'll tell you, I've knit my brow trying to reduce this thing down in layman's talk where even the little boys and girls who do try to listen would understand. And I hope it's where you can understand it. Now, here's the problem. As I've said, some verses say 3 days and 3 nights. Now, traditionally, we are taught that Christ was crucified on Friday. And then he rose early, sunrise, the scripture says, early on Sunday morning. Now, the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 15 and verse 34 that Christ died at 3 o'clock, the ninth hour, in a afternoon. Let's assume it was Friday. This is an assumption. Let's assume the Roman Catholics call it Good Friday. It used to be forbidden in the Catholic Church to eat any meat on Good Friday. What's that got to do with Jesus dying? You can lay an egg if you can tell me. But it used to be that. Now they've thrown all that out. That's not valid anymore. So that's over. So Christ was crucified on that. We're assuming he was crucified on Friday. I'm not assuming. Mark 15:34 says he died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's not an assumption. So we're going to take the real hour and apply it in an assumed day, which was Friday. Now here's what we've got. How on earth can we get 3 days and 3 nights out of this dating? Now listen carefully to the problem. He died on Friday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The new day started at 6 o'clock sundown. So from 3 to 6 are how many hours? 3 hours. So on Friday, we have 3 hours of Friday. He lay in the tomb all night Friday night. That's a full night. He lay there all day Saturday. That's a full day. He lay there all night Saturday night. That's a full night. But he rose early Sunday morning, let's say the first hour of Sunday morning. Now, what do we have out of this? We have one full day and two parts of 2 days. And we have two full nights. And there's no way you can get 3 days and 3 nights out of that. Okay? Now, it is because of that reasoning that some people I want to just leave them alone because some people back in church history who became, frankly, literally nuts. Everything had to be literal, except the verses I've used, and it's a bit different there. And because they could not get 3 days and 3 nights out of 3 hours on a Friday afternoon, one full night on Friday night, all day Saturday night, and about 1 or 2 hours on Sunday morning. Brother, because they couldn't get 3 days and 3 nights out of that, then they said, oh, that's going to mean the Lord Jesus was wrong. In Durban, South Africa, there's a thing down there called the Islamic Missionary Society. I meant to bring the book tonight, and a lady phoned from South Africa, and I got to talking and forgot about it. They published a book, a man named Ahmed Didat. He's a great Islamic debater. Boy, he's a devil of a prince of a devil. And Ahmad Didat wrote a book called The Hoax of 3 Days and 3 Nights, and he's used the very argument that I've just used. And in using that, he says this proves that Jesus Christ wasn't infallible, because how are you going to get a day out of 3 hours on a Friday afternoon and a day out of a couple hours on a Sunday morning? You might get a couple of full nights and one full day, but that's all you're going to get out of it, and that's not 3 days and 3 nights. Hence, folks, there's our problem. Now, let me stop here. Do you understand that part? You understand that part? That's the problem here. Christ crucified on Friday. And, of course, it tells us very clear in Mark 15:42 and John 19:31 that they hastened to take him down from the cross because the next day was the Sabbath day. And for a man, Deuteronomy chapter 22 and 23 was very clear in the Jewish law that if a corpse remained on the cross after sundown, the whole land was defiled. And you mustn't think that they hurried to get Jesus off the cross because they were good guys. They were terrified that the whole land would be defiled. They were obeying the Torah, the law. All right. Now, here's one solution to the problem I've just given you. One solution. Now, this solution was invented about 125 years ago. Now, I didn't write church history. I've got to tell you what it says. It was invented about 125 years ago because the people who invented it couldn't make 3 days and 3 nights out of the skinny little schedule I've just shared with you. Now, here's a solution. I'm saying a solution. I'm not saying it is a solution, but here's the solution. They say, oh, we've got the answer. Christ was crucified on Wednesday. Then they make Thursday a Sabbath. He died on Wednesday. They had to get him off before sundown 6. The Sabbath day, the new day started at sundown. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. So they had to hurry and get him off the cross because Thursday was a Sabbath. Thursday a Sabbath. Thursday a Sabbath. Now that's what they say. Now here's how they explain that. They go to John 19:31, where John writes about they were hurrying to get Christ off the cross because of Sabbath. And John says that was a high day. A high day. Well, it's too bad they didn't look just at any good, I mean, any Jewish textbook today. Now, when it says a Sabbath is a high Sabbath, it means that the Passover occurred on that day, and it has nothing to do with Thursday, or Monday, or Tuesday, or Wednesday, or Thursday, or Friday, or Sunday. When you read in your Bible that it was that Sabbath was a high day, even today in Seder and Pesach and Passover, when they talk about a high Sabbath, that means according to the calendar that the Passover falls on the regular Saturday Sabbath. I want to tell you, it has nothing whatsoever to do with a Thursday Sabbath. That's wrong. Nothing to do. But anyway, let's say it is right. And let's apply the same scrutiny that I applied to the 3 days and nights on a Friday. And let's apply the same thing to this Wednesday business as we applied to the Friday business. And let's see how we come out then. Okay? Is that honest, Mark? We're going to check both of them out. All right, now listen real careful. Let's say he died on Wednesday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, like Mark 15:45 says. So that means we have 3 hours on Wednesday. When the sun went down, the new day started. You know, Gentiles say day and night. You ever notice in the Bible, Paul never says day and night. He says night and day. That's how a Jew expressed it. The Jew always had night first. We Gentiles, day and night I've been working. The Jew says night and day. Because the Jew night started with 6 o'clock sundown. That was night that was first, and then day followed. Now pick these things up in Paul's letters. It's his Jewishness coming out of him over and over. He can't get it out of him. All right, so let's assume that he died on Wednesday at 3 o'clock, so that gives us 3 hours left before Sunday. All right, now, so that means 3 hours on Wednesday, and then the following night was one full night. The next Thursday was one full day. The next Thursday night was one full night. Uh-oh, we're getting in trouble, oh. The next Friday was one full day. The next Friday was one full night. The next Saturday was one full day. And the next Saturday, that night was one full night. We got an hour on Sunday morning. We got a bigger mess there than we had with the first one. Bigger mess. You following? Now let me explain it this way. Here's what we have by using this computing. We have 3 full days and 2 parts of a day. And we have 4 full nights. Poof. Chuck. Frankly, that's a bigger mess than the first one. Now look, you say, now I'm looking at it like, brother, like shaving somebody. I'm scrutinizing it, okay? And I don't like to do that, but, you know, to get it right sometime. So on the Friday business, it don't compute. On the Wednesday business, it computes way, way too much. We got a whole day floating around. And we got a mess. Either way we go, we got a mess. So what's the answer? People say, I'm a Wednesday man. People say, I'm a Friday man. Now, frankly, let me tell you something. Frankly, that's not really the point. Frankly. That's not really the point. But I felt like I should bring this. I've had several young people have asked about it in passing, and one of the young ladies, that means she's been reading her Bible. So Friday won't work, Bob Brown, and the Wednesday deal won't work, especially dragging up a high Sabbath and making it a Thursday to fit in with the Wednesday, get him off the cross before that Thursday. Boy, that's finagling. Now, Gentiles can do that, but I'll tell you what, Jews won't do that because they know. All right. What's the answer? Now, I want to start with this. I want to start where I would think that anybody who can think for 30 minutes should start. And the question is, how did the Jews compute time? Okay? Is that fair? Oh, I don't care how the Gentiles computed. Those renegades had nothing to do with this business here. This is a Jew deal from start to finish except the trial. So how did the Jews compute time? And we've already shared with you, and this is true today with Jews today, and it'll be true till this thing is hauled in for the last run. As I've said to you, the Jew Time, the new Jew day starts, it's not really a day, starts at a night. 6 o'clock, well, it's already 6 o'clock. 1 hour ago, the Jewish time started. Now, they measured it from 6 o'clock to 6 o'clock. That's how they measured it. Now, as I've said, Gentiles say day and night, and Jews say night and day. The night starts at 6 o'clock sundown and lasts until 6 o'clock sun up. 12 hours. And I know most of you know that, but there's a tape recording going. All right, now listen very careful. Now, what I've done, in order to be sure this is right, I have checked 7 different references on this. And I did not check any of the modern-day encyclopedias. They're all right, too. If you can spit out some of these new perversions they've got in there, Tony, you know, some of this junk translation they've got in there. But I've gone to 7 different sources, and these sources range over a period of 100 and about, well, 200 years would be close enough. And that's taken us back before the controversy started, because it started about 125 years ago. So what I wanted to do is to cover the period of the controversy and go right on back before it started, so they couldn't be biased then, could they, preacher? Because they didn't know the controversy was going on when it started. Now listen, very careful. Very careful. I want to show you how the Jews computed time. Listen, very careful. Now, today as back then, here's how the Jews did it. A part of a day, even 1 hour of a day, was counted the same as the whole day and the night before that day. That's how they computed time. Now, some of you already got the answer to the riddle here. Let me give that one more time. A part of a day, and I'm quoting this, even 1 hour of a day was counted the same as the day, and the previous night was also counted as well. Now, this worked backward, and this worked forward in the Jews' chronology or time reasoning. Here's an illustration to help you to understand it. I heard a Jew give this illustration. I heard Dr. Arnold Fruchtenbaum, a Russian Jew. I tell you, I heard it years ago. Boy, I was thunderstruck. Man, I ran that thing back and listened to it and listened to it and listened to it. I thought, Jew, boy, you've done answered a problem for me in this thing here. You know, there's some verses in the Bible you struggle with, and you're not going to force on them, but you back off and leave them alone. And then all of a sudden down the road, somebody will say something and click, click, you know, there it is. And you just see it so clear. Now, here's an illustration. A king could take a throne on the last day of December. In the month of January, in writing up his record, it would be said that he had ruled the entire year previous, though he only took the throne on the last day of that month. Now, there's so much to go here. We won't finish it tonight. I can tell you that. I can feel that coming over the hill already. Now, some of you read through the Chronicles and Kings about dates, and you see contradictions, and some guy went to the throne this time, and another chapter over says he's 40 years late, he shouldn't have gone. Hey, I'm answering the thing for you right here. I'm telling you. Right here is where it's being answered. And the problem is, you know what the problem is? If they don't have a Mickey Mouse watch like me, they didn't do it right and God's wrong. We've got to square the Bible around to suit our nonsense. It won't work that way. We've got to look right as it says. So a king takes a throne on the last day. Let's say that a king was crowned December 30th, 31st, whatever, last year. Well, come January the 1st, they'd write his record out that King Hezekiah has been ruling for 1 year. He hadn't been ruling for 1 year, but that's how they reckon time. That's how they did it. All right. Page 2. Now, you have your Bible open to John chapter 2. Please turn there. Now, here's what I want to do now, and I'll try to finish this part. What we're going to do now, listen, folk, and you who are listening on the tape, we're going to go through every verse in the New Testament that talks about 3 days and nights. Everyone, now, there's not that many, so don't faint. We're going to go through every verse in the New Testament that mentions 3 days and nights, so Bob, we're not missing any, and we're getting all of them. How do you know getting all of them? Because I checked it out in the concordance. That's how I know. Very easy. I'm not smart. I just use a concordance. And what we're going to do, we're going to examine all the verses in the New Testament where it talks about 3 days and nights, business. And we go. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to take them in the order in which... I'm not going to take one that was said, then one back here, then one 20 years later. We're going to take them in the time order, like number one and then number two, in the time order in which they're mentioned, Brother Frase. So you can't beat that. So I'm trying to be honest. I'm trying to be smooth with it and show you. All right, now here's the first place where 3 days and nights are mentioned, John chapter 2. And, Christ is in the temple at Jerusalem. He's just purged the temple. And, look at verse 18. Here's the first mention of the 3 days and nights business. Then answered the Jews. They ran down to the temple precincts and said, "What do you think you're doing? What sign?" See, there's that sign business I've been telling you. "What sign showest thou that thou doest these things? Give us a sign if you think you're the Messiah. Show us a sign." Boy, he told them a sign they couldn't handle 3.5 years later. Listen to this. Verse 19, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Now that's the first place it's mentioned. And all it says is, in 3 days. That verse is repeated nowhere else in the four Gospels. In 3 days. All right, go back to Matthew 12 and let's pick up the second one. Matthew 12. Now come on, take your Bibles and follow. If you go to Bible school and you don't follow, they'll kick you out. Matthew chapter 12. Now, I want to show you the second place. Now the first place it's mentioned, it says in 3 days. No nights mentioned, in 3 days. Second place, Matthew chapter 12 and, verse 40. I'm skipping a bit of the reading. You pick up the context. The Pharisees, in fact, they attacked Christ again for a sign in verse 38. They did that three times. And look at verse 40. Christ says, "For as Jonas..." Now, here's the verse everybody uses, and they don't pay any attention to all the others. Verse 40. Christ says, "For as..." They said, "Give us a sign." Christ says, "Okay, for as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights..." Three nights. "In the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Now, let me tell you what the advocates do. They take that verse, and they hammer that verse, and they hammer that verse, but they fail to realize there are other verses that say the opposite. Now, the way to rightly divide the Bible is not only take that verse, but take all the other verses and lay them down and see. I want to tell you what, if you don't handle the Bible like that, you'll end up a Jehovah's Witness or a nut somewhere. This is rightly dividing the Word of God. That's the way you have to do it. Anybody can take one verse and hammer a verse and hammer a verse and hammer... Listen, excuse me, that's what the radical charismatics do. That's the reason when they pass a collection plate, women pull off their diamond rings. I've seen men drop their wallets in there, take off their gold watches and drop them in there because they hammer a verse in Malachi that God will restore and restore. They ought to take all the other verses. But they won't do that. It's sucker bait. Now, the second place it's mentioned, here's what it says. Christ says he will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. All right, let's go to the next one, Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Next mention of this 3 days and 3 nights business. Now, here's where it'd be good to have a Bible class and everybody had a harmony of the gospel, Brother Tony. They could all follow on this. Now, the verse in John 2 is only mentioned in John 2. The verse we just had in Matthew 12:40 is only mentioned in Matthew 12:40. Now, the verse in Matthew 16:21 is also mentioned in Mark 8:31 and Luke 9:22. Okay? So, Matthew 16 and verse 21. All right, here it is. Here's the third mention of this business. It says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed and raised again the third day." Now, Matthew says, "raised again the third day." Mark, in 8:31, Mark says he will be raised after... Turn to Mark 8:31. I'm going to read it, or you won't believe it. Mark 8:31. Let's see how Mark wrote the same verse. Mark 8 and verse 31. All right, here it is. "And Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected. The elders," see, same thing, "chief priests," and blah, blah, "and scribes, and be killed." And what's that next word? "After 3 days." Hey, what comes after three? count. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay? After three. Now look, if after 3 days is not the fourth day, I don't even know what my name is. After 3 days. Now, without turning, let me tell you how Luke wrote it in Luke 9:22. Luke says, "And be raised again the third day." Now, the third place this business is mentioned. Matthew wrote it, "He'll be raised the third day." Mark wrote it, "After 3 days." And Luke wrote it, "Be raised the third day." Now, you know what that sounds like to me? If you believe in a verbal, plenary, inspired Bible, and I do. I have no problem with that. I have a problem with a lot of things I don't understand. That's me, not the Word. If you believe that these three verses were inspired by God, then you'll have to be honest and say, hey, they're all not saying in unity it was a strict 3 days and nights. They've left the door open. You'll have to say that. Because two said 3 days and nights, the other said after the third day. Okay? Let's go to the next one. Matthew 17 and verse 23. 17 and verse 23. Maybe I could move on quickly and not comment so much. It's quite a temptation not to. Matthew 17, 23. It's also in Mark 9, 31. I'll tell you what both of them say. Here's the fourth place in the time order where this three-day, three-night business comes up. All right, Matthew chapter 17 and verse 23. Here it is, and Jesus is talking, "And they shall kill him," that's me, the Son of God, "they shall kill him, and the third day shall he be raised again." Now here's how Mark put it in Mark 9:31, "And he shall be raised the third day." So on this fourth place, both say he'll be raised the third day. Now let's go to the fifth place. Turn to Matthew 20, if you will, please. Matthew 20. Now remember, we're getting every verse in the New Testament. You say, that bores me. That's the reason you're ignorant about the Bible. That's the reason the Jehovah's Witness come. You have to go to have a blood transfusion. You can't handle them. You don't know God's Word. You know, we're an undisciplined people. This past week, Mom and I, we went to up there to that meeting. There's an old retired medical doctor, the old Dr. Kennedy. He was an Army doctor in the Second World War in New Guinea. What a job that must have been. You know what, Doc? I love old Dr. He's a great old guy. And we were real pals, and we were sitting around there. We were having a little meal there afterwards. I said, "Dr. Kennedy, how was it when you went to medical school?" You know what? That old man told me something that was classic. He said, "Brother Pike," he said, "I wanted to be the best doctor in the world." And he said, "I had to beat myself into shape every day to study." And he graduated with the highest honors at Harvard in his class because he beat himself into shape. What are you saying? Discipline, discipline, discipline. And he got the prize. He did. Oh, boy. All right. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 19. 20 and 19. "And shall deliver me," Christ, "to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify him, and the third day shall he rise again." Now, Mark says exactly the same in verse 34 of chapter 10, in Luke in 18:33. All three says, "the third day shall he rise again." All three say exactly the same thing here, but all three said a different thing back in another one. All right? I'm going to tell you. You say, what does that mean? Brother, that's inspiration. I want to tell you what, if Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John had conspired to write the Bible, they would have never written it like that, because anybody would have picked it up as a contradiction. I mean, the only answer is divine inspiration. Nobody would write it like that, and that's inspiration. All right, look at the next one, Luke chapter 13. Let's move on real swiftly. Luke chapter 13. This is one mostly overlooked. In fact, I overlooked it in one of my books on this thing and found it later. Luke 13, look at 32. Oh, I better go back to 31 or it won't make sense. Christ is about midway through his ministry. Luke 13, 31. "The same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, get thee out." He was in Herod's country, King Herod. "And depart, for Herod will kill thee. And Jesus said unto them, Go tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I will be perfected. Now, believe it or not, Christ is having reference to His resurrection when He says, The third day I will be perfected. Now, let's move down, please, to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. Let's get the seventh one. Now, incidentally, I am not using the statements made about 3 days and nights during His trial or when He was hanging on the cross. I'm not using those. I have a reason for it. There are five of them. If you'd like them, I'll give them to you later. All right, let's look at Matthew chapter 27 and look at verse 62. Now, He's dead and He's been buried. And if I can see it here, 62. Oh, boy. All right, here it is, verse 62. All right, let me read it for you. The next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together to Pilate, saying, Sir, now, we'll see how sharp you are in the Bible. Sir, we remember that deceiver said when he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. When did he say that? In John 2, when he began his ministry. It's 3.5 years later, Dave, and they said, we remember back there when he messed that temple up and smashed our capitalistic enterprises. We remember he destroyed. And 3.5 years later, that still lived in their crawl. But it's very interesting. They've got the interpretation now. Over there, they didn't understand it. They said, they went to Pilate and said, Pilate, we remember 3.5 years ago, he said, he destroyed the temple, I'll build it back in 3 days. They said, we know he's talking about the resurrection. They got it. You see, that lived in their crawl. That was brought out in his trial, too, and thrown in his face at his trial. Well, what does it say here? After 3 days. Look at it again, very careful. We remember the deceiver said, verse 63, after 3 days. There's your after again. All right, just a couple of more. All right, turn to Luke 24. Luke 24. Hey, you might want to mark them. This is all of them. That'll save you hours tracking them down. Get your pencil, paper, whoopee. I mean, if you want to track them down, track on, but I'm giving you some shortcuts. Now, in Luke 24, this is a Sunday afternoon of resurrection morning. Well, you know, first day of the week. They didn't call it Sunday. The Romans named it Sunday after the sun god, okay? But they call it the first day. And this is, well, we'd say Sunday. He rose that morning. This is that afternoon. Now, three times in Luke 24, the 3 days and nights business are mentioned. Look at Luke 24 and verse 7 for the first one. 24 and verse 7. All right. These are the women talking and the disciples saying, look at verse 6. The angels say, He is not here, but He is risen. Remember how He spake unto you, saying, when He was in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Now that's the third day. Go down to verse 21, if you will, please. Down to verse 21. Now, here's the two men on the road to Emmaus. One of them was Cleopas, Jesus' uncle. And history says the other was Dr. Luke, incidentally. That's what the Jews swear by today. And they curse him, too, so it must be right. They don't write about him. They don't say, oh, good old Dr. Luke. They say that blinkety-blank Dr. Luke. So I'm sure it's right for them to handle that approach, you see. And so right or wrong, I don't know. But the two men on the road to Emmaus, and look what they're saying in verse 21. But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel, and beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. There it is again. Now look at verse 46, and here's Christ Himself speaking. Verse 46. He's in the upper room. He appeared back in Jerusalem. Here's what He said to those terrified preachers. Whoopee, don't you know? And Jesus said unto them, that's the 11, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Now, here's what we have in Luke. We have in verse 7, the third day. We have in verse 21, today is the third day. And we have in verse 46, Christ shall rise from the dead the third day. Now, hurry, go to Acts 10:41. Don't worry, I've only got 100 more to go. That'll make you smile. Acts 10:41. Now, here it is, 12 years after the resurrection of Christ, and Peter is preaching in the house of Cornelius. 12 years later, let's see if Peter's still a good Jew. Well, I know he was because he fought about eating pork off of a sheet. But let's find another way. Acts 10 and verse 40. Look at that. 10 and verse 40. Well, let me find it here. All right. Peter says, he's referring back 12 years before. He says, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Now, remember, that's 12 years after the resurrection. Now, go to one more. Hey, boy, we got one more. 1 Corinthians 15. Just one more. And I don't like it that way, but there's just one more. All right, 1 Corinthians 15. One more. And so most of you are familiar with this one. Now, here's Paul writing, and Paul's writing this about 25 years after the resurrection. He's still a good Jew. Look what he says in verse 4. Verse 4. And that Christ was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, nobody remember all that. So you know what I did this at? I sat down and analyzed the whole thing step. Now, that's my wife says I have the best handwriting in the world. No, she's mad now, boy. And I analyzed. Now, look, I know nobody remembers all of that, but I want you to listen to this now. I put them all together. Now, here's a summary of all these 10 verses that we've just covered. Now, listen very careful. At one place, it says, in 3 days and nights. That's John 2:19. In three places, it says, after the third day. In three places, after the third day. In 11 places, it says, rose on the third day. Or, at one place, it's in. Three places it's after, 11 places it's on. Now, it can't be all of them, right? Are you with me? Hey, you with me? Now, boy, some of you Baptists, don't swallow your false teeth there. You know, I'll be through in just a minute. Are you with me? Now, it can't be all of them. It can't be... Number one's against, I'm going to tell you, that middle one after is against all of them. And if you want the truth, when it says he's going to lay in the grave 3 days and three nights and then rise, that still pushes over to the fourth day. If you want to be real practical preacher, that pushes over to the fourth day. So I got a problem here. I got one in, I got three afters, and I got 11 ons. What's the answer? I told you the answer. The way the Jews date. That's the answer. Brother, amen, preacher. No more bromo seltzer. You know, no more. The problem solved. By understanding how the Jews date. You know the parable of the 10 virgins? That'd like to have drove me nuts. I used to preach that, the five with all, that's the Baptist church. The five without all, that's the unsaved church members. And I was preaching that one day, and an old man came around me. He said, Brother Pike, did you ever investigate a Jewish wedding? Boom. I said, don't believe I have. He told me that. And, you're talking about the penny dropping, as the Aussies say. I had been preaching that like folks have, like we had Amy's wedding. And it didn't occur to me to go back and see how the Jews had a wedding and fit it into that. When you did... All this with the Holy Ghost, without the Holy Ghost, vanishes. And this business, well, I believe it's Wednesday. Well, bless God, I believe it's Friday. And here they go, you know, they got a Wednesday Baptist fundamentalist, old-fashioned bunch of nuts, and they got a Friday going over here. It's all soft, folks, when we understand how the Jews dated things. Back then, when it all happened, and let me find last page here, and I got it all tonight, and it's just 8 o'clock. All right, now here's the answer. Remember how the Jews counted time. And so if we got one on and three after and 11 whatever, makes no difference. They all fit into the way the Jews counted time. See it? Hey, rattle, shake them. Rattle. Got that? Good. I heard you, Dan, all the way up here. See? You see how that fits? So the enigma is solved. There's no more problem. And it fits. You say, well, Brother Pike, how long? Somewhere in that area. The Holy Ghost wasn't. Do you know what some of our people want to do? Brother, because they can't make God operate on a split five-second time scale, they're going to make him operate on it. Yes. And they're going to force him to operate on it. Well, I got news. It don't work that way. Not at all. All right. So here's our table. And here's a conclusion. Buried on Friday before sundown. Well, that don't work, does it? We've already seen that. That don't work. All right, good. So I got to get that Sabbath fit in there. So I'm going to make a Thursday a Sabbath and make Jesus die on Wednesday. But that's a bigger mess because I got days to juggle. So what's the answer? The answer, the Jewish way of computing time. And if these demons in the Islamic Missionary Society in Durban, this has been debated with them. I went to one of those debates one time with Dennis Hands, a converted newspaper editor, and this very subject came up. And Dennis asked me to go. I said, Dennis, I'm not going. I said, they'll kill you. He said, don't worry. He said, they had a big stadium. He said, there's a side gate. He's a newspaper man. He can get in anywhere. He said, we're going to go, and we're going to sit in the side gate and look at them. They can't see us. I said, I'll go with you then. Because, see, I can't run like you. And so we went. And there was a Church of Christ preacher debating Ahmad Dida, the great Islamic debater. They call him great. He's a blasphemer. And that Church of Christ preacher made one mistake in his debate. I'm telling you, they were there. And whoo-wee, they were there. Those women with those veils and that Islamic cap. And the word Islam means the faithful, incidentally. They are the faithful were there. And just as that thing was ending, the Church of Christ preacher had a couple of minutes to sort of wind up his statement. And he stood up and here's what he said. He said, even though Mr. Dedat denies that Christ was even crucified to rise from the dead, he said, I know that all you members of Islam really know in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead. And Tim, they came out of those benches like savages. Down, knocking benches over. And here come the police with the dogs and everything. And I said, Dennis, let's get out of here. And we skedaddled out. What's the lesson? The lesson is they hate the fact Jesus died, buried, and rose. And they pick on our foolishness debating a Wednesday and debating a Friday and say, see, they can't make the scriptures fit with what Jesus said, but they fail to do what a lot of us have failed to do, and that is fit it into how the Jews computed time back then, and the enigma is solved. Our Lord came, our Lord died, our Lord was buried around 3 days and nights and rose from the dead, and hallelujah, we're on our way to heaven because He did. Thank you. Let's stand and have prayer. This is Randy Pike speaking. The following is a summary of the message you have just heard on how many days and nights was the body of Christ in the tomb. The problem has already been explained. We're told that Jesus died on Friday afternoon at 3:00, and this is correct, at least the time, according to Mark 15:34. If Christ died on Friday afternoon at 3:00, this gives us 3 hours before the day ended at sundown. Then his body lay in the tomb all Friday night. That's a full night. His body lay in the tomb all day Saturday or the Sabbath. That's a full day. And then his body lay in the tomb all night, Saturday night, and of course that's a full night. Then the Bible teaches he arose from the tomb early Sunday morning, say about the first hour of Sunday. When we calculate all of this according to Gentile reckoning and understanding of time, we find the following. The Lord Jesus, his body was in the tomb 2 full nights, 1 full day, and 4 hours. Hence our problem. There's no way that 3 days or 3 nights can be derived from this particular calculation. One solution that some have found is to take the crucifixion from Friday back to Wednesday. Christ was crucified on Wednesday, and then, of course, they faced the difficulty of making the day after Wednesday, Thursday, to be the Sabbath. For we know the Bible says that after he died, they hastened to remove his body from the cross because of the Sabbath day that was coming up at sundown that Wednesday evening. Looking at this computation, we have one part of Wednesday, 3 hours. We have Wednesday night, 1 full day. Thursday night, 1 full night. Friday, 1 full night. Friday night, 1 full night. And Saturday, 1 full day. Well, frankly, we have more problems with the Wednesday crucifixion day theory than we do with the statements in the Bible that seem to tell us that our Savior died rather on Friday. In this summary, one more time, what is the answer to this dilemma? It's answered when we remember that all of these things were written in Scripture, the four Gospels, basically according to Jewish reckoning, or how the ancient Hebrews counted time. Now let's look at it for one more short reason. The Jews considered one part of any day. For example, 1 hour on a Friday was counted all day Friday. And this included the Thursday night before that Friday as a full night. Thus, Christ died on Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Mark 15:34 says for sure it was 3 o'clock. He died on Friday at 3 o'clock. Thus, a part of that Friday was counted a whole day, and the Thursday night before was counted the full night. Therefore, we have a full day and a full night. Then he lay in the grave all night Friday night and all day Saturday. Thus, we have the second full day and full night. And we know that he rose on Sunday morning. Hence, we have a full day Sunday and then that Sunday night, because the Jews reckoned time forward as well as they reckoned it backwards. Well, what's the answer to this thing then? It's very simple. Christ did die on Friday, and according to Jewish reckoning, he was there approximately 3 days and 3 nights. You see, people, the Bible is right. God's word is correct. It will stand as it has been given. The wise man will quit fiddling with Scripture and trying to force in it his reasoning from the present day view, his thinking from a Gentile background, and let God's word speak as it speaks. How long was our Lord in the tomb? Just like the Bible says, he was there genuinely, approximately 3 days and 3 nights. We thank the Lord the Bible is true. We trust this message has been a blessing to you. You benefited from it and have received help from this particular teaching. If you are interested, any of you are interested in further information concerning this or other messages, please write Fellowship Independent Baptist Church, 1298 Rogersville Road, Rogersville, Rogersville Road, Radcliffe, Kentucky, USA. The zip code is 40169. Thank you.